Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. The special session is over and we have an all-star, all-pundit show with Brian Wachter, Jesse Wadhams, and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we've got an all-pundit show going here. We're taping it the morning of July 20th, the day after Sine Die. Brian Wachter is here, the Senior Vice President of Government and Public Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Jesse Wadhams is partner with Black & Lobello, Attorneys at Law. And John Sandy IV is principal with Argentum Partners. So let us start out, as we have you up on the screen, John, with you. What are your thoughts on the last 12 days?
Well, unprecedented, no question about that. In some regards, a little surreal. You know, COVID's devastated a lot of our economy, a lot of jobs, and the way that we had to legislate through this special session was no different. It was, challenging not being a part of the process and not being allowed in the building. But, you know, the lawmakers at the end of the day were able to balance a budget, albeit, you know, not an easy process. I don't think anybody was happy with the cuts that had to be made, but in light of the fact that our economy was shut down for over 2.5 months, they were the necessary cuts that needed to happen.
Brian, your take on the 12 days?
No, I think surreal was probably a good way to describe it. I mean, there was a time during the 12 days where you didn't know what was fact and what was fiction. There was a lot of different information around. I think that was due, you know, to the closed nature of the legislature, but it was also, I think, the first kind of special session, at least I've seen, where there didn't seem to be kind of a plan already in place. That certainly there was going to be discussion, but there was a direction there, you know, the legislature was going. And I don't think we saw that this special session.
Jesse, your take on this off the top.
Well, you know, what to say that John and Brian really didn't cover. I mean, it was one of, for lack of a better word, the most interesting sessions I think we've ever seen. It had almost everything. It had big tax fights. It had surreal moments of, technology issues and the lack of ability to sort of be in the building, to be in the presence, kind of change the level of communication that even happens between the branches and between the members themselves and the two bodies. So. Just a surreal session, I think, is exactly the right adjective.
All right. So how much notice did you get as a lobbyist working with the mining industry to see that potential change in taxing for mining coming up?
So the actual document, the actual concept of a bill coming few hours maybe before that day. I think that they convened at 5 p.m. It was introduced roughly around that time. We had seen it around 3 p.m. So a few hours, but again, mining tax is always sort of out there as a thing that you got to be thinking on because it's always getting discussed. So, but the actual sort of concept, of the, what I might call the Peggy Pierce capping of deductions, that was 2-3 hours before it became public.
Assemblyman Steve Yeager was just on the program, and he was saying that he is not going to be surprised at all to see this come up at the next regular session.
I would say that's probably an understatement.
Yeah.
Okay, Brian, one of the things about the mining tax situation was that, you know, there have been complaints over the years about taxing specific industries. This was taxing a specific company, essentially. Your thoughts on that?
The legislature was obviously looking for ways to, you know, fill in those draconian cuts that were coming. You know, of a $1.2 billion shortfall, there was just shy of, I think, about $500 million in programming cuts. And so they were taking a look. I think if the legislature wants to take a look at tax policy, it's every right to do so. But you need to do so outside of a special session, and you need to do so with as broad a coalition as possible, so that you're bringing in stakeholders from every industry, not just mining, and have a conversation about what revenue you need and where it needs to go. I mean, it's very bad tax policy when you start putting ongoing programs and operations onto a commodity-based industry, for one, and two, when you put it onto any single industry. Our members are really afraid. I mean, if this is the kind of, you know, attitude towards business that the legislature is going to have, does it end with mining? You know, is a retail tax next? And so this is something that certainly has us on guard and that we're going to have to be looking at coming into 21.
John, one of the things that didn't raise its ugly head, except potentially in the form of a lottery, was a tax on gaming. Was that being discussed behind the scenes at all? Because even though, and I'm certainly not against it, we have the lowest tax rate for gaming perhaps in the world, 6.75%, but I think that that's also responsible for why so many gaming companies come here and build billion-dollar resorts. But did that come up at all?
So I think kind of, I'd follow the way Jesse answered the question previously. I think that those are always going to be part of a discussion. There's no question that there's been some conversations about increasing the gross gaming tax. However, I think, you know, mining was a relatively easy industry to pick on because of their counter-cyclical nature, where when the economy is not doing well, the price of gold goes up. And so I think, gaming wasn't really discussed as much because they've been shut down for 2.5 months, and we really do rely a lot on gaming, and we need to get visitors coming and get those companies healthy again. And so I don't think adding a tax would have made a lot of sense. So I don't think it was as focal as you saw mining for mainly that reason.
Jesse, we've alluded to this earlier in the discussion, but how difficult was it to lobby during this special session when you weren't allowed in the building? And for those that don't understand this, in a state like Nevada, where we have a citizen legislature, lobbyists are very important because they can explain very complex issues to the legislators, who are working people. They are not necessarily specialists in any industry, and your integrity is your livelihood. If you lie to legislators, you're done. So how difficult was it to communicate during this process, Jesse?
I can speak for myself. I wouldn't speak for Brian or John or other lobbyists, but I found it to be tremendously difficult because you had the lack of that face-to-face communication, that ability to kind of catch somebody in the hallway and have a few minute conversation to kind of walk through, hey, here's why this bill might not do a thing you think it does, or this particular cut will, it take the hospital, say, you have a Medicaid provider cut, a provider rate cut, it has a compounding factor because of the federal match. So walking through issues like that was very difficult because you're trying to do it over text message or over email. So you saw a lot more letters. If you look at some of the records of the various hearings, you'll see hundreds, almost 1,000 documents and things in the record now, because people are trying to get those messages in to talk about how things will work, how things might affect a particular industry, or how a particular choice of word even changes the meaning of something. So trying to do that over text message and email is a much, much more difficult concept.
Brian, same question to you. How difficult was it for you to be able to inform the legislators, and were you able to reach them by telephone? You know, I mean, I know it's old school these days, but that's still the most effective way to communicate.
No, absolutely, especially when you get into very complicated and complex subjects like taxation. You know, it's something that I fortunately get to watch and study during the regular session, but when you're attempting to look at a tax solution and all of those components and the unintended consequences, it's hard to do in 120 days. And then to do it, you know, during a special session and electronically or Zoom or by text, it's difficult to convey that level of information. You know, Sam, I think you hit it on your head when you talked about the citizen legislature. You know, it's our job here. You know, we spend hours and hours every day reading about our industries, talking to our partners across the country, talking to our members, getting the answers to these questions so that we can be that resource. And I think you saw what kind of happens when you don't have, you know, subject matter experts able to weigh in, I think, appropriately on a lot of these measures. I still think there was more that maybe even could have been done had there been enough people looking at kind of those budget numbers.
John, last night I received emails from AFSCME, the State Workers Union, and also from MPRI, a conservative think tank. And did that really sum up the feelings, which was AFSCME was grateful that they only got 6 furlough days versus 12, and MPRI was saying that state government should have taken a bigger hit when you look at what's been happening to private industry?
Well, I would say that coming out of this special session, I wouldn't think that there's any interest group that felt they got a win. I mean, this was a very difficult, it is a very difficult time for everybody. And I'm sure some groups can say, wow, that could have been a lot worse. And that's absolutely true. I mean, fortunately, the legislature was able to find some money to put back into all the draconian cuts that needed to be made. But I'm not so sure that there's a lot of people thrilled with the cuts that had to be made.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more. We've got an incredible panel here, and much more with them when we come back.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York. And I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our All Pundits show with three great pundits, Brian Wachter of the Retail Association, Jesse Wadhams with Black and Labello, and John Sandy IV with Argentum Partners. So Jesse, coming to you, you know, as much as you were able to be aware, beyond throwing this all from the governor's office to the legislature, which is what the governor did at the beginning of this, he said, these are the cuts that need to be made, have at it. What role were you able to see that the governor's office was playing in all these discussions?
In terms of setting the sort of the level set of where the budgets go and where the agencies saw abilities to make savings or find cuts, I mean, clearly the governor's finance office had a very robust document that set the foundation for the whole concept of what became AB3. At that point, then you start to, the legislature has their own fiscal staff that can start to walk through these things, and they'll look at it another way. So I think in a certain way, Senator Ratty said it, it's a sort of a second opinion. So once the governor did turn over that document, but this is true of almost anything, once the governor's office sort of heads into the legislative process, the legislature becomes its own thing and really will work and do its own due diligence, its own review. It puts its own staff onto reviewing each particular agency. And so you'll have those policy analysts combing through everything. So they're bouncing ideas off of legislators and then the governor's finance office to come up with, essentially about $180 million in sort of movement of money to backfill some of the $1.2 billion hit we took. So I think there was fairly good communication between the finance office and fiscal staff, at least.
Brian, are you aware of whether the governor was actually physically going into the building or calling legislators into his office to lobby on various parts of this, which is something that people like Kenny Gwynn were famous for?
No, Sam, I am not aware of that. I was 450 miles away in Las Vegas. So I think, whether or not the governor went in or not, it was, I think, very clear that it was a little disorganized. It at times didn't seem that there was kind of a clear priority on what, the legislature was even looking at in terms of, I think, even on which cuts they wanted to put back. At the end of the day, it was the education, the new Nevada dollars and the SB 178 funds, those weren't restored. But the state employee furlough pay was cut in half, from 12 days to 6 days. And so there were policy choices that were made, but I couldn't tell you, how involved the governor's office was or not.
John, Health and Human Services, one of the problems we've had over the years in getting funds to Nevada from the federal government was that Nevada has always been lax in putting up the money from the state to get the federal matching dollars. And according to Assemblyman Yeager, it's like a 9-to-1 match that we really miss out on. What are your thoughts on the cuts we're looking at here to Health and Human Services?
Well, I agree with that. I mean, in a lot of ways, the money that the state puts into Medicaid is an investment, and part of that investment, the payoff, is the federal match. In fact, the federal Congress is hopefully in the very near future is going to add some additional stimulus dollars to help supplement states' Medicaid programs. And that's why it's important for us to maintain a lot of the Medicaid dollars that go to that so that we can gain the enhanced match and get as much possible from the state. But you're exactly right. I mean, that's always been a problem with the state is trying to maximize the value of those Medicaid dollars by virtue of the federal match.
Let's turn to the university system, Jesse, because it seems like there was a lot of money swept from accounts to be able to make up the difference in what the cuts were going to be. So even though there are serious cuts to both UNLV and UNR and the community colleges, was there some areas of savings because of the money that was swept?
Hard to say if there was areas of additional savings. I mean, what certainly in the 19 session, UNLV had the benefit of a number of capital improvement projects that they got approved that were sort of in the pipeline of starting to move. So unfortunately, those are low-hanging fruit at a certain point when you can find that money and it's still roughly sitting there. So you say, that's swept. There are other accounts. The other piece that NSHE has sort of, that this comes up and it came up in the Great Recession, is that NSHE has some level of ability to raise their own funds. So while it's not ideal, and I certainly don't think that we should be moving that task over, but because they do have that some limited ability to find new funds for themselves, they tend to be a place where legislators can find some easier places to cut, and at least in theory balance it.
Brian, Robert Brooks Robert Lang from Brookings West was writing in, I believe it was the Las Vegas Sun last week, complaining that UNLV takes much bigger hits than UNR does. And this is a long said statement over many years. But with all the power in Southern Nevada, do you find that to still be true?
I think, this North-South Nevada versus UNLV issue is something that is just kind of built into the DNA at this point. I don't think that the legislature has been shy about asserting that it's a very Southern Nevada-centric legislature. Things like the Southern Nevada Forum, that was designed by Southern Nevada legislators and help with, the Las Vegas Chamber. Those kinds of institutions and organizations are certainly driving kind of a Southern conversation that you can say, was lacking in the legislature previous, to the days of Bill Raggio. But I don't know if that is kind of still true today or especially in, say, the last two legislatures.
All right, let's take another break and we'll be right back with our Power Pundit panel after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I can't do it. Stupid, like my mom.
We can't do anything at Mommy's because you won't pay child support.
Dad said you cheated, and he's not even sure he's my dad.
Mommy said you left both of us, so she isn't gonna let me see you.
I look just like my father.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and I may represent men, but hate has no gender, only casualties. Please, stop sacrificing your children in your war against your ex.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter, Jesse Wadhams, and John Sandy IV. Jesse, coming to you first here. The governor says that we're not going to have a second special session right away, and because of concerns over COVID. Do you think that this is because of the surge in COVID-related illnesses in the state over the last week or two, or a delaying tactic because they're not ready to go to a second special session yet?
I would have to think it's a little of column A, a little of column B. I do think that the governor is concerned about the increase in caseload, especially in Southern Nevada. But I do think the 12 days of this legislative session that we just saw certainly indicate that we need a little more time to bake the cake before we can get in there and do more policy.
And Brian, again, quickly, please. But it seems like the issues that would come in a special session, should be discussed in detail before we even get to the next legislative session rather than being dealt in a special session. Would you agree or disagree?
Agree, but I think the federal government is going to make some changes over the next 2 weeks that are probably going to make that special session a little bit more efficient and organized to begin with. So I think that timing is going to work out.
Okay, and John, last question for you. Do you think the federal government is going to come through with phase 5 of funding for the states and rescue places like Nevada?
I do, yeah.
And that's where we have to leave it. Gentlemen, great show. Thank you so much. It's great to have all your knowledge and experience in one program. We really appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.